All right, today's message will be on the birth of Isaac, and we'll be looking at a couple of different passages in Genesis. We're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 through 21. We're also going to be looking at chapter 18, verses 9 through 15, and then we will skip ahead a little bit to Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. So then, let's get started. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, starting at Genesis 17, verse 15. And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Of course, Abraham has a son by this point in Ishmael, and God is making his promise yet again that Sarah will have a child. This is something that Abraham evidently has never expected before. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac." Now, Isaac, it's interesting, means laughing, or he laughs. And this, of course, is what Abraham has just done, fallen on his face and laughed at God. "I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, but I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year." Now there has been a promise made to Abraham, and if you watch or listen to the sermon on the covenant of Abraham, you will see that God has promised to bless all the nations of the earth through Abraham, and it is through Isaac that this blessing will come. And of course, this all harkens right back to Genesis, where it is promised that someone will be coming to crush the head of the serpent. We understand this to be Jesus, the Messiah, who is going to come ultimately from Isaac's line. Abraham laughs. He thinks that it's a little absurd that God would do such a thing at this age, yet that is what God has chosen to do. So then, moving on to chapter 18, we're going to get the promise one more time. And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, 3 men were standing in front of him. So this is what's happened. Jehovah has appeared. Now, don't let that "the Lord" confuse you. That capitalized L-O-R-D is the proper name of God. It is Jehovah who has appeared, and he has brought 2 men with him. Now, chapter 19 about Sodom and Gomorrah makes it clear that these 2 men are God's messengers that are with him, or as your translation probably says, angels. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, "O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant." Now, don't get confused. That Lord is Adonai. It's not the same as Jehovah. It means master. So we're getting a more literal English translation here. He is calling him his master. Abraham is calling God his master. In English, we're going to call him Lord, which means essentially master. And it is not to be confused with other times that Lord is used instead of the proper name of God, Jehovah. "O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." It's very interesting and almost comedic. You might want to note what Abraham's proposal was here. It was a very humble proposal. He said that he would bring a little water to wash feet, and that he would bring a morsel of bread, just a piece. just a little bread, just a little water. Let me get you what you need, and you can then go on your way. But Abraham evidently is looking for something more than to just have them continue on their way. He evidently wants them to stay, to give their blessing, or something to that effect, because the way that he acts after making this proposition does not quite match what he said. He says, we'll just start back reading again. We're in the middle of verse 5 of chapter 18. So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quick, 3 seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. So this is the morsel of bread and just a little water that he brings. 3 seahs of fine flour, by the way, that amounts to 22 liters of flour, 26 pounds of flour. You could make a dozen, 2 dozen loaves of bread with this, not just a morsel. So they knead it and make it into cakes. And then, of course, he's, as quickly as he can, he's sacrificing his best calf to give to Jehovah and his men, and he's bringing them curds and milk. Basically, he's set up an enormous feast for them, more than they could possibly hope to eat, when he had promised them just a morsel of bread. And not only this, but we see in verse 8 that Abraham is standing by the tree while they recline and eat. Abraham is the master of the house, but for these guests, he behaves as a servant. I wonder, on reading that, how eager we are to impress God. I wonder if we give him just a morsel, or if we hurry to give him a lot. I wonder if we follow him only expecting him to serve us, or if we devote ourselves to serving him. Going back to the passage, chapter 18 at verse 9, they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She's in the tent." The Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I am worn out, and my Lord," now that Lord again, master, "and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord, Jehovah, said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord, Jehovah? At the appointed time I will return to you, about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son.' But Sarah denied it, saying, 'I did not laugh,' for she was afraid." He said, "No, but you did laugh." We'll leave off from there in chapter 18, and next time we'll pick up and discuss a little bit about Sodom and Gomorrah. But it's very interesting. This is the second instance that we've had of people laughing about the birth of Isaac. God has told them repeatedly that they'll have a son. They have accepted by this point that it's just not going to happen. They're hoping that Ishmael will be blessed. They can't believe that they could have a son. It's laughable to them, but it is not beyond the work of God. And I think that Sarah and Abraham demonstrate to us the kind of faith that we often have. We often hear what God says, and superficially we may believe it while laughing to ourselves and saying, "Ha ha, not really." But there's nothing that's beyond God. We shouldn't expect that the Creator cannot create in Sarah new life. Sarah is not beyond God's power, certainly, and neither are any of our worldly concerns. There's nothing in our realm that God does not have control over. And so we should have faith that God can do all that he promises to do. Then we move on to chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. And we finally read about the birth of Isaac. The Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him, and Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And this, by the way, we can fit definitively into our record of dates, seeing that Abram was 100 years old at the time that this happened, and that he was born in the year 1948 after the creation. The Bible gives us record that Isaac was born in the year 2048. So God has kept his promise. We see that the lineage going toward the Christ has been continued into another generation. It is a great blessing to Sarah that a son has been born to her, and she laughs about it in her old age. Indeed, it is a blessing we see throughout the book of Genesis when children are born. And there's only one other point that I want to make very shortly about this passage. We noted back in chapter 18 at verse 12 that Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old. Now that my Lord is Adonai, and it means my master. She refers to Abraham as her master, right? And we read a little bit concerning this in 1 Peter. We turn to it. 1 Peter chapter 3. It's another topic of discussion for another day, but it doesn't hurt us to take note of it while we're here, and we'll remember it until we need it. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, we read, for this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good, and do not fear anything that is frightening. So Peter, in reading this passage, looks at it and sees that she calls him Lord. Now the Lord, of course, when Peter is speaking, is Kyrie. Okay, or kurios, it is the same word that would be used to describe Jesus as Lord and Master. And indeed, Sarah had used the word Adonai, which is the same word which was often used to describe God as Master. And so it is the understanding of this passage among Peter and the apostles that women are supposed to submit themselves to their husbands in a similar way as they would submit to God and are to look at them as masters. So then, that is a short comment on Sarah and the language that she used. And that covers our message on the birth of Isaac. It's something that was promised to Abraham, it was promised to Sarah, and at the appointed time, that promise finally did come true. Stop back next time, and we'll be discussing Sodom and Gomorrah.